Spilly on the rocks, pretty close to broken Spilly. This one, so the Rockies had a doubleheader. It rained out on Tuesday. Tough one Wednesday. Rockies had a chance to win. They lose in extra innings. That game, Chase Dolander, matched up against Jackson Jobe. So two top, draft picks from a couple years ago. They matched up. It was actually kind of fun to see Chase against this Detroit Tigers team. Tigers are good. I'm telling you, I've said it. The best team in the American League is the Detroit Tigers. Coolest thing that happened, by the way, as a quick aside, was Jack White and was in town. He's actually performing at Mission Ballroom, I believe. I'm recording this Thursday night, but he's playing tonight and he's playing Friday night. So if you get a chance to go see Jack White, go see Jack White. That was my first walk-up song. Very first Spilly walk-up song, 2006, was the White Stripes. And I don't remember. See, I don't remember what year the White Stripes, and I walked up to Seven Nation Army. So let's see, what year was White Stripes, Seven Nation Army? What year was that song came out? It was early, right? And I felt like I was ahead of the curve. Then it turned into like a big song in stadiums. 2003. So I was kind of funky, right? I listened to different music. I like, like alternative rock. I like folk music. Big music person. So I'm a big fan of music. So anyways, I walked up to Seven Nation Army in 2006, and what was cool was Jack White is from Detroit, obviously, and he's a big Tigers fan. So he came to games. He came to games. He was in the crowd. He was there, wearing all black. Why do rock and roll people always wear all black? Also, if you want a homework assignment, which I never give you any homework assignments for listening to Spilly on the Rocks. But there's a great documentary. It's with Jimmy Page, The Edge, U2's guitarist, and Jack White. And I think it's called Play It Loud. Documentary about these three guys just kind of like jamming and riffing together. And I think when you come away from this, when you come away from this documentary, you tell me who you think the best guitarist of that group is. Kind of leading the witness here. Jack White's pretty incredible. The movie starts out with Jack White in his garage building a guitar out of like a wire, a little pickup amp, and some wood. And he just starts playing it with a bottleneck. Is like crazy. He can literally make music with anything. So anyways, Jack White was there, and he's a huge baseball fan, big baseball fan. And he actually is part owner of a bat company that big leaguers use. It's called War Stick. War Stick. And yeah, he's part of it with Matt Kemp, former Rocky, right? Dodger great. And Ian Kinsler. Ian Kinsler, great player. Awesome. Awesome dude. I love Ian. So anyways, Ian Kinsler, they met in Detroit when Kinsler played for the Tigers, and then Jack White got involved with baseball. So Jack White, huge fan, easy to root for. So if you're around Friday, you're like, hey, what should I do tonight? If I don't go to the Rockies Padres game, what should I do? Go to the Mission Ballroom. Mission Ballroom, awesome venue, unbelievable venue. I love that venue. So great venue, great place to go watch music. But this Rockies team, I told you the Tigers were good. Best team in the American League. And so it was kind of fun going back to Wednesday, seeing Chase Dolander match up against this Tigers lineup, which is relentless. And there's no name in this lineup that you're like, wait, what? Who's that? You're like, who's Spencer Torkelson? Who's Cary Carpenter? Who's Riley Green? Who's Andy Ibañez? Like, who are these guys? Who is Trey Sweeney? Like, the whole characters of the Tigers, you have no idea who they are. You look at their bullpen, you're like, I don't know any of these guys. What the Tigers do is what I hope the Rockies will see as a blueprint. It's there. You can match that. They are a offense that doesn't chase, one of the lowest chase rates in baseball. They swing very heavy first pitch. They're a big first pitch swinging team. They swing at strikes. The lineup will walk. The lineup will hit homers. They hit a lot of homers. This road trip, they went, it was three cities. They went 7-3. Good team. They can pitch their tail off, too. Tarek Skubal was a Cy Young Award winner last year. They got Jack Flaherty back, who's been fantastic. He really found a home in Detroit. They have this kid, Reese Olson, who's a good pitcher. Casey Mize, first overall pick a couple years ago. They're good. I mean, they really are good. But they do a lot of little things really well. They run the bases exceptionally well. They don't steal bags, but they go first to third better than any team in baseball. They'll always take the extra 90, which is great. And when I say 90, it means 90 feet. So they take the extra 90, constantly just like pounding you. And so this was a real big litmus test for the Rockies. They got day off Monday, rained out Tuesday, and then Chase got ran out after a couple innings because he was dealing with his finger. He's got his index finger, his nails like coming off. And so like it's hard to command the strike zone. I'm not making excuses for any of these guys. I'm just telling you what's happening. So he lost some command and then ended up having to get run out. And so the Rockies bullpen was on display. Rockies bullpen, if there's any silver lining, there's really no silver lining whatsoever with the Rockies right now, but the silver lining is the bullpen. They have been since April 9th, check this, second lowest ERA in the entire major leagues. The entire major leagues, the best one's Detroit. Of course they are. But Rockies are right there. And so you head into Thursday. It's a doubleheader, traditional doubleheader, which are super fun. And I think they broke today, broke Kyle Freeland. Today broke Kyle Freeland. Thursday doubleheader broke Kyle. Really sloppy defense behind him, three errors. They end up losing this game. They had three hits, three errors. They scored one run. Rockies notes on today's day. I love how they have been just frank about it. Rockies were swept for in the doubleheader for a second time this year. They are outscored 21-3, a minus 18 run differential, tied for the largest negative run differential in a doubleheader sweep in franchise history. I mean, they got boat raced today. The Rockies, 31 losses through their first 37 decisions, are tied. Check this. This is in the notes. It's the first line. Tied with the 1988 Orioles for the most losses in the modern era. Kyle in game one went three innings, gave up 11 hits. He was getting pounded, nine runs, five of those were earned. The Rockies have allowed more unearned runs than any team in baseball. They've actually scored one unearned run this season. And after the game, there's a bit of a team meeting, I believe, but Kyle spoke to the media after. And I'll share this really quick, and you'll see a broken Kyle Freeland. And like, it's just hard, right? Like, it is not a fun sequence right now that the Rockies are going through. It really is not fun. And these guys are like grinding hard. They're grinding super hard. So here's Kyle in the press conference. He was asked, you know, what do you say to the fans? And he basically says, check this out. He's broken. Emotional. That's it. Keep riding. We're trying. That's it. Keep riding. We're trying. I mean, look at him. Look at him. Keep believing in us. Keep riding. Keep believing in us. Keep riding. Well, it's kind of hard right now to believe in the Rockies because there's just so many bad things going on. You know, we did see some, you know, around the league. Derek Shelton ends up being the first manager fired. So he was fired from the Pirates, and Don Kelly took over. Don Kelly also played for the Tigers. So a lot of people cheering for Don Kelly. By the way, Derek Shelton, I said this, I continue to say this. Here's my take on managers getting fired, especially from certain organizations. The Pirates specifically, 27th in payroll, they have not spent over $100 million in God knows when. They've had good teams. Right now, they have a really good core of pitchers with Paul Skeens, Mitch Keller, good pitcher. They have some guys that are good, like they can pitch, but they can't hit at all. And so, for Derek Shelton, he's trying to deal with this team that is not very good. Hey, good night, buddy. And so it's just one of those things when you think about when you think about like a manager, why he has to wear it, even though it's a GM and the ownership that has given him a really poor roster. That's the facts. I mean, there's no way around it. Like he doesn't have a good roster, so Derek Shelton wears it. It's kind of like status quo. We saw hitting coaches. Donnie Ecker got fired. I talked about that. Got fired because the team wasn't hitting. You saw Clint Hurdle taking over for the Rockies because the team isn't hitting. The team isn't hitting because of coaching. That's the reality of it. Team isn't hitting because of poor coaching. Of course, there's things that they can do to improve, right? You can be better with the analytics. You can have maybe a better approach. You can have, some stuff that the Rockies don't use that other teams use. But regardless, I mean, it's coming down to player personnel. And the roster's short. I mean, that's the facts. So you look at Detroit, their roster's pretty steady, right? The entire lineup is works as a group, works as a unit. They all have similar characteristics. They don't chase. They swing at pitches in the strike zone. They have one guy that is like a massive chaser, and that's Javi Baez. But these two games, oof, for the Rockies, I continue to say, like, firing a manager here, I know people keep asking for Bud Black's head. What does it do? Other than it just shows that you're making a change. The changes have to come from within, like, all around. Like, I keep saying, like, get a third-party audit. Just see where you're at. Like, there really isn't much you can do except for wearing it. You're going to wear it. This is going to be a historically bad team. They're in the strongest division in baseball. They're going to get their butt kicked. I mean, that's just the facts. They're going to continue to compete and do what they do. But I mean, it's they're not as good as the Padres. They're not as good as the Dodgers. They're not as good as the Diamondbacks. They're not as good as the Giants. They're going to play the Padres for three games this weekend. Padres are the best team for me in the National League. They're the toughest team to strike out. They punch tickets. They have an unbelievable bullpen, play quality defense. All these things that the Rockies just aren't doing. Not doing. So disappointing. Another three game sweep at home. Every stat is negative. There's not a good stat. The good stats are coming from the bullpen. Really love the Zach Agnos kid. The split finger is awesome. Great pitch. Took a loss, but that was in extra innings. Part of it wasn't his fault. there's an error in there, so he had to wear it. Seth Halverson is a dude. This guy's touching 100 virtually every pitch. Has a great split finger. Angel Chevy's been really good. Jake Bird's been fantastic. The bullpen's been great. Great bullpen. But the lineup just isn't scoring. It is the hardest I've ever seen hitters trying to hit right now. I mean, there's so much talent coming in on the mound. It's just nonstop. 95, 96, slider and hitters counts. Like, it is really hard to hit. The teams that hit are the ones that have these innate approaches where they just don't swing at pitches outside the strike zone and they make contact in the zone. That's not the Rockies. That's not how they're built right now. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some time, but really frustrating to watch. They broke Kyle Freeland today. You're not going to break me, Rockies. No way. I'm too positive. I'm too positive. I am in it. I love watching baseball. I also got this other one. I want to point this one out too. So if you're curious, all right, the Rockies. Whenever you see like a second game of a doubleheader, you're always going to have small crowds, always. Like, it doesn't matter. The second game of a doubleheader, a traditional doubleheader, is always really small. And I got a tweet today from a Rockies fan, like, look how embarrassing this thing is, and blah, 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 blah. They can't fill in the seats and all this stuff. And I was like, wait a second. You don't know what you're talking about. Again, you don't know what you're talking about. The Rockies this year, in their home attendance, they're up 12,000 fans from a year ago. They are up. They're not down. They are up. They're about 800 fans more per game than they were a year ago. So, still can't say it. I mean, you can't say like nobody's showing up. It is the most beautiful ballpark to go to. Watching a baseball game at Coors Field is an absolute treat, even if the Rockies aren't playing well. The teams that are coming in, there's some unbelievable teams that have come in. This month, you just saw the Tigers. If you're a fan of the Tigers, I'm telling you should have watched them. They're fun to watch. Padres are in next. They're awesome. We're going to get the Yankees are coming in. Attendance at Coors Field is going to be great. It's going to be great. So fans, uneducated fans, kind of just throwing this blanket statement because they're upset. I get it. I understand it. I know what you're trying to do, but it's not real. That's not a real thing. You want to look at the second game of a doubleheader and say there was 13,000 fans there? Yeah, of course there was. That's every single doubleheader, every doubleheader. Traditional doubleheaders, there's not a lot of people in the stands for the second game. Just doesn't happen. But if you were at the game and you stayed for both of them, congratulations, psycho. But you're not going to break me. Not going to break me. So Padres come in next, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then the Rockies head out on the road. They take on the Texas Rangers, and then they go to Arizona. No, this schedule's just like relentless. And currently, the win percentage for the Rockies is historically bad. Right now, tied in the modern era with the 1988 Baltimore Orioles. Is that right? Is that what I said earlier? 1988 Baltimore Orioles. 1988 Baltimore Orioles. 31 losses through the first 37 games. I still don't anticipate anything changing. I don't see why they would. Because it's still the same roster, unless you're just making a change to make a change, which teams do that. I mean, there's a couple teams I think that are on the verge. Like I think Toronto's on the verge of making a move. I think Baltimore's on the verge of making a move. Again, it's unfortunate. Like in the case of Baltimore, Brandon Hyde, this guy's won manager of the year. This guy was there through the lean years, and now he has the worst pitching staff he's ever had, and they're all hurt. Like the whole roster is banged up and hurt. So, if you want to get rid of Brandon Hyde, same type of thing. It's like, dude, you didn't spend money on this offseason. You let Corbin Burns walk away. You signed 35 and 40-year-old starters who haven't performed. Like, what do you expect? So, and you can't always anticipate injuries either. So, a lot of injuries for the Baltimore Orioles. The Rockies can't really say that other than Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant, by the way, update on him. He got a back ablation surgery, which I guess is this surgery that cuts off, like, I guess, like communication. Basically, it cuts off some of the nerves so your brain doesn't feel how bad your back is. So he's trying. I mean, he said it. He was like, you might as well do everything you can to try to get your back so you can perform. He still has multiple years left, but Kyle Freeland today, he looked defeated. Today got to him. Tomorrow it's Antonio. You have Herman coming back, and Antonio and Herman still coming back from their arm injuries. They don't look right. They'll eventually get right, but I mean, at the same time, like trying to get them right, so maybe another team might be interested because at this point now. With the record, the Rockies have to be considering some moves, right? Like trading some moves, changing the personnel a little bit to try to get, younger, controllable players. I mean, this is work in progress. Work in progress. Hey, follow me at SpillyGoat19. Follow the boys at Mile High Sports, and then I'll be back at it. Hopefully, you have a great weekend. Go see Jack White.